From NPR News in Los Angeles and Slate Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Mike Schuster, in for Alex Chadwick. Coming up, why some Republicans are rooting for Democratic Senator Hillary Clinton, and we explain the origins of the term stalking horse. But first, President Bush and his top foreign policy advisors have had little success this week at the United Nations trying to convince other nations to support the U.S. in its post-war plans for Iraq. The Bush administration set out to gain a Security Council seal of approval for the U.S. occupation and additional troops and money from key allies in Europe and the Muslim world. So far, the effort has come to almost nothing, and the U.S. is left still shouldering nearly all the military and financial burden in Iraq. I talked about this with Ivo Dalder, a senior fellow in foreign policy studies at the Brookings Institution and a former member of President Clinton's National Security Council. A few weeks ago, the Bush administration decided it really did need some help in Iraq from other nations and from the UN. Why did they come to that conclusion?
Well, if you look at what's going on in Iraq, it is a pretty obvious conclusion. 90% of all the troops there, 90% of the casualties, and 90% of the cost that is being borne in order to do the reconstruction and to maintain security there is being borne by the American taxpayer and by the Americans. And it is unsustainable. The number of troops that we need mean that if we continue at the present level, we need to call up reserves. The number of casualties that have been rising since the end of major combat operations were declared at an end on May 1 are such that the American public is losing faith in the strategy that we're pursuing. And of course, the money, $87 billion just for the coming year, is extraordinarily high, and people are having sticker shock.
And so the White House seemed to perceive that, understand that that's what Americans were beginning to think, and the president shifted policy and a few weeks ago made a speech asking for international help, really signaling that it looked like he and his administration were going to go to the United Nations and negotiate seriously for some kind of support. But now, have they abandoned that policy?
Well, I actually am not sure that they ever had a real big shift in policy, not to the extent that was necessary to get real international support for what they were trying to do. What they did do is signal a willingness to have more people come in and help, and in fact, a willingness to go to the United Nations and get a new UN Security Council resolution that, among other things, would make the military presence inside Iraq not just an occupation force, which is what it is currently, but a UN-mandated security force. And it was a strong belief in the White House that if you did that, a number of countries that had indicated that they might have troops available, countries like India, Pakistan, and Turkey, that they would then contribute forces to a UN-mandated security force. It turns out, however, that what countries were really looking for was a change in direction of American policy. They weren't about to send their sons and daughters into this maelstrom that Iraq has become. They weren't about to fork over billions and billions of dollars for the occupation and reconstruction of Iraq without at the same time being sure that they would have a greater say, or indeed any say, in how those forces would be used and in how the money would be spent.
And the Bush administration wasn't willing to make those compromises?
No, and it never was willing to make that compromise. For the Bush administration, the issue was not whether the United States would give up control over the occupation to anyone but the Iraqis. It was always about getting others to help us in continuing the coalition effort. And even at the UN, the president kept on talking about the coalition effort that would be maintained in Iraq. But, of course, we need to remember, when we went to war, the coalition was small, and those who were not members of the coalition were unlikely to join it afterwards.
Mm-hmm. So finally, without significant help and the international political legitimacy overall that a wider and broader Security Council resolution would provide, what can the Bush administration do to really improve the situation in Iraq?
Well, it can spend more money itself, and it can send more troops itself, which seems to be the option that is now being weighed on the table. That makes it more unpopular here at home. But if you are truly committed to making Iraq safe, secure, and moving in the right direction, then it means doing what needs to be done, which is sending more troops to maintain the stability and paying more of the bill in order to hasten the reconstruction of Iraq. Without that, the only other way is to fundamentally alter the nature of the control that the U.S. has over the political situation there in order to encourage other countries to send the troops, the money, and the expertise that they have but are so far unwilling to give.
Ivo Dalder, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Ivo Dalder is a senior fellow in foreign policy studies at the Brookings Institution and author of America Unbound, The Bush Revolution in Foreign Policy, out next week.